is up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we will not be doing... Oh, shit, what is that game called again?
Connect the Stars.
That's what it's called. So we won't be doing that or talking about like any... Well, I guess we could talk about like movies we've seen, but you know, like we won't be doing any segment before we jump into the headliner because Caleb's got some projects in the works and his studio is a little
unbuilt.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little unbuilt right now, so he only has one monitor. He can't do a lot, but at least we're able to still do the show. So. That's what matters.
Yeah. Shit's getting dicey over here. Yeah. For those of you that are watching the video, if you can look behind me, that is an office that I am currently in the works of building. That is 100% whooping my ass. And as much fun as I'm having with it, it's not done. So... It's very dusty in there, so that's why I'm filming out in the other part of my shop right now. So hopefully shit still sounds all right.
I mean, you sound good to me. So
all right, cool. Yeah. I am hoping to have this somewhat done or relatively close to being done by the next time we record. Which we'll talk about at the end of the episode too, but we're not going to have one next week, but we will have one the following week. So yeah. But yeah, this project's taken me a bit longer than I thought it was going to. I tried to be able to record last weekend, but I didn't have half this shit done. So, and everything was just so like disorganized and all over the place that I couldn't physically record even if I wanted to. So now I'm at a point where I can actually like set up a tiny little space, but it is janky as hell. Like I'm literally like set up on a little like kitchen or like a little coffee table and I'm sitting on a bucket.
Oh shit, dude.
So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Hopefully, next time we record, I am a little bit more comfortable.
Oh, but, man.
Yeah. Just, I hope you guys appreciate the effort, is what I'm getting at.
I agree. I know I do. So we're going to go straight into the headliner of the evening, which will be our breakdown of Pixar's new movie, Elio.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing that like right now?
Oh, like unless you want to talk about like other movies we've seen.
I'm just trying to think of since last time we talked, I have seen, I watched the first Final Destination.
Hell yeah.
Cheesy as hell.
But so much fun.
Yeah, but it brings up so many questions because I'm like, because it does it like, I don't know if they address this in future because I watched all of the first one, like it was prior to getting all this bullshit started, but yeah, I watched all of the first one. I'm only like maybe 20 minutes into the second one because I kid you not, every time I try to watch it, like the kids come in or like Braille needs me to help her with something or something pops up where I'm not able to watch it. So I'm only like 20 minutes in. I'm seriously just about to like say, screw it and just restart it. But yeah. So like, that's the case with that. But I have questions based off of the first because they don't technically cheat death the way that like people claim that they were able to. They postpone death, but death makes its rounds again.
Yes. So Final Destination 6 kind of does something different with death's, I don't want to say bucket list, but like death's list, because you know, like it goes for the family members of the people that were supposed to die at the Skyview. In 1 through 5, it's basically like it's like the same storyline, just told differently. That a group of people are able to escape this catastrophic event because someone that was in their group had a premonition. They were able to get a good amount of people away from that. The event still happens, but then because they cheated death, they escaped how they were supposed to die. They're not supposed to be there. Death, as we know, death doesn't like to be cheated, and so death comes back for them.
Right. But so this is how it happened in the first, because it went through like who was like going to die first, because there was like some explosions that were happening in the seats or something like that.
Yeah.
So it went through, killed the first, what, 3 people? There were 6 total in the group that like that got saved. Mm-hmm. I think
that sounds right.
Yeah. So there were 6 total. 3 of them died, or the first 3 died. The next 3 supposedly like escaped, like cheated death in some way. And so it basically skipped over them, skipped their turn.
Yes.
But at the end, it was like it seemed like death was making a second go round.
Yeah. Cause like that's the thing about the first one. Like it does leave so many unanswered questions that like are explored in the next couple of installments. Cause you know, we find out that there are ways to cheat death.
Like completely.
Yeah. Like completely. Okay. Like you're off its list. Like how in the second one, that lady like fully dies and then is brought back to life. In the 5th one, they introduce the idea that if you take the life of someone else, however many years that person have left, you get that lifetime. And then in the 6th one, or wait, sorry, the 6th one doesn't introduce anything new. It's just 2 and 5 that introduce those 2 ways to like fully escape death, that you're like completely off the list. And so, yeah, so like the first one, like, with it being like the first one, like, yeah, like a lot of answers or a lot of questions are left unanswered of how death works and how you can get off his list, how he comes back for you, all that stuff.
Okay. As long as they address it.
Yeah. Yeah. They do. As the movies go on.
That was like the first one that I was just like, okay, like now I'm back to being confused, but now I'm in.
Yeah.
Also, the way that they got their team of people that survived was absolute bullshit. Like, sure, you get the guy that like that had the premonition, understandable. But it's like you got his best friend who was kind of sitting next to him, understandable. Like you could kind of like assume that those two were involved. But then you got the freaking bully asshole guy, like the jerk. That just out of nowhere, when the dude that had the premonition is freaking out, you have him being like, "You're ruining this trip," and then he goes to like beat the guy up for. I'm like, he wasn't even like you were on the other side of the goddamn plane, my guy.
Oh, dude, wait for the other ones.
Oh my gosh,
you kind of get that with at least like 1 or 2 characters every movie of the ones that like escape the situation and
I
are involved.
Hate that. I hate, because I'm like, dude, you could have just kept your mouth shut and been fine. But they're like, you got kicked off because you can't. I'm like, and then like the way that he goes out of his way to like basically pick on this guy, like he's driving and he flips a freaking Yui, like an illegal Yui, to like come and like get on this guy's ass that's sitting at a coffee shop. And he's just like, "Hey, you asshole." And I'm like, "You're the asshole, sir."
Dude, just you wait till Final Destination 4 or the Final Destination. Because I recently watched that one again. And there's one character that is able to escape before the catastrophic event happens. And like what he does to the one character that also survives, it's not even like the main guy that has the premonition, but it's another character. And they like truly showcase like So the guy's just a racist piece of shit. But like I'm just like, was this really necessary? Like, like, come on.
Oh man, I can't wait. But yeah, I hated him from the start of the movie to the freaking end. Like when he finally, like, I assume died, obviously because it didn't show anything. I was just like, you know what, dude, good.
There's usually at least one character in all the movies that you're just like, oh, thank God. Like, no offense, but like, thank goodness you were on death's list.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like that hate little, to be that person, that
shit kid in, oh, yeah, in Bloodline.
Oh, that piano falling was just beautiful.
It was just masterfully orchestrated.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh, that was great though. Anyway, I'm so pumped for two. But yeah, I mean, a lot of my shows have started coming up or started popping up again. Like Squid Games season 3 is back. I'm a couple episodes in. Freaking devastating. Some of the episodes that they've shared already, just rough.
I don't know what it is. I could never get into that show.
You couldn't get into Squid Game?
No. Uh-uh.
How far did you get into it?
Like two episodes.
Two? Yeah, it doesn't get good till like the ass end. Like this, the first half of season 1, bit of a slow burn. But once you get past that, it gets good.
Okay. All right, maybe I'll give it another shot.
Yeah. And are you watching the Korean version with subtitles?
Or yes, are you watching that?
Okay. I would prefer that. Like, unless you can get over how it's dubbed over, like the English version.
I don't usually. I always go for subtitles. I do not like English dubs usually.
Yeah, I'll say this: they're one of the better jobs. Like they've done one of the better jobs, but there's a lot of ways that they speak. Like I think it's just like Koreans, like a lot of like inflection on the voice and stuff that they use that doesn't quite translate well to English.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, but season 1 is freaking awesome. Season 2 is pretty killer, and then season 3 is off to a pretty good start.
That's good.
I think I'm only 2 episodes in though, so to be determined. What else did I watch? I think I started watching King of the Hill.
Oh, wait, have you never watched King of the Hill?
I've never seen King of the Hill.
Dude,
I've only ever seen from King of the Hill one piece of it growing up. It was the episode where Bobby was practicing kissing on the mannequin head. And I don't even know where I saw it, but it was like, that's weird. And so I just never watched it.
Oh, man.
Dude, the show is freaking hilarious.
Oh, yeah. It's a great show. I really hope the revival is just as good.
I've laughed my ass off in every episode. Like, there's always something. Like, there's always this little quick one-liner or something that they say that's just hilarious.
Have you seen the part with Hank? And I forget what season it's in, but the part with Hank and the Canada BD-40?
Yes.
Oh, my. That is one of the funniest scenes in, like, any animated show I've ever seen. That joke is so good.
Dude, I was watching, or like, I was getting a bunch of reels about it on Instagram. And I was just scrolling through and I was getting like so many different clips and I was laughing at them. I was like, okay, that's pretty funny. But the one that got me to start watching the show was Hank coming out to his truck and then he sees the I Heart New York sticker on his truck and he's like, God damn it, Dale, rips it off. And then Dale slides up from under, puts a new sticker on, and then Hank drives away and you just hear him and then blow smoke. And I'm like, that is fantastic. Dale might be my favorite character.
That's fair. Dale is fantastic. Oh man.
Oh man. Like Dale and Hank's dad also makes me laugh.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, so good. Anytime that Dale like freaking hauls ass away from a situation, shit gets me laughing. gosh, like there's so many like random bits that get me, dude. Like there was an episode where Hank and Bobby are take part in a shooting competition, and they're like walking off into the sunset. And then, like, they start, like, kind of veering off to the left. And then Bobby's like, hey, Dan, I think we parked over here. And they're like, oh. And so they start, like, they just turn around, start, like, walking over to the left. And then Hank's just like, we should probably get your mother. And then they walk all the way back. And then the episode ends. I'm like, I love this.
It's so good.
But I was telling, because there's a lot of like very old fashioned values in that show. And I was laughing and Braille's like, why are you watching this? And I'm like, well, I've never seen it before. But I'm like, it's got me laughing because I'm like, I watch Bob's Burgers because that reminds me of me. And I'm like, I'm watching King of the Hill now because that reminds me of my dad.
I love that. Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
So good. So good. But yeah, I've been very much enjoying that show. Then trying to think what else I've been watching. I've been keeping up with Rick and Morty. This newest season's pretty good. Like it is super freaking funny. The latest episode I saw, the mom Beth. So it was like a couple seasons past. She didn't want to be like part of the family anymore or felt like she'd kind of like wasted her life. And so Rick created an exact clone of her and basically sent one of them off into space to go have like space adventures and whatnot. And they found out that there was like a chip in their brain that would explode if they got within a certain proximity of each other. And so they come down like towards Rick and are pissed because they're just like, God damn it. Like I'm the clone. It was the space one. The space one comes down and just like, God damn it. Like I'm the clone. Like what was this chip for? Blah, 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 blah. And then the other Beth, the one that stayed on Earth, comes in and he's like, scan her. And then he scans her and she also has a chip.
Oh shit.
And then she's just like, what the hell? And he's like, listen, I'm a horrible father. And I'm like, and I'm even worse at like this decision making. And so he ended up like mixing them up and not knowing which one was the real one and which one was the clone.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So he's just like, yeah. So that's how it ties in. So they're both basically like exactly the same person. But yeah, in this latest episode, they have this thing where they revert themselves down to being a 10-year-old. And they were like a psychotic 10-year-old.
Oh, shit.
And I'm talking like psychopathic, like freaking killing animals for fun kind of psychopathic. And
Michael Myers.
Yeah, so they both like end up because like accidentally turning both of them into 10-year-olds and Rick has to come down and like deal with it. And it's freaking funny. Like I laughed pretty good with that one. But yeah, other than that, I haven't been watching too much. I want to watch that K-pop Demon Hunter movie.
I hear that one. Dude, yeah, I've heard that's so good.
Yeah. Dude, have those random ass animated Netflix movies are always so good.
True that.
Like, I'm thinking freaking Willoughby's killer. Ultraman. Did you ever watch the Ultraman?
I didn't.
Oh, that one's amazing too.
Was Mitchell versus the Machines on Netflix?
Maybe? I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's amazing.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
yeah, but I mean, they've had like banger after banger, dude. And so, yeah, this is one I'm actually wanting to finish The Office so I could watch it on the projector.
Hell yeah.
Freaking big screen that shit. but yeah, I'm very excited to watch that. I have been skipping over every clip that I can imagine to watch that. I have a bunch of other movies I want to watch up there too, but yeah. So I've been having fun.
Hell yeah.
Watching random ass little shows and whatnot. You been watching anything good?
No, I need to branch out. I just watch the same shit over and over.
What are you watching now?
Well, I'm working my way through The Office. Okay, so
again?
How many times
have you watched The Office, Rose?
Dude, I can't even count. I tell you this,
it's too much. Whatever the number is, it's probably one or two too many.
I switch off between four shows right now because, dude, like I am still in like my comfort show phase. Like I just can't branch out. So it's either
God, if you're watching Superstore still.
Shut up.
Are you?
Yeah. So I'm switching like usually every other day. It's like a different show. So I'll go from The Office to The Middle to Superstore to Friends.
Like, I knew it, dude. I could have guessed all four of those.
I know. I need to start something new.
Yeah, dude. I was literally about to interrupt you and just be like, okay, I bet you I know which ones because I already got Office and I got Superstore. I'm like, I bet you Friends is in there, and yeah, I bet you I could have gotten The Middle too if I would have thought about it a little harder.
Oh man,
that's hilarious. Oh man, but yeah, you haven't branched out like at all.
No, not really. I don't even like know what show I want to. Well, what I really need to do is freaking finish Young Sheldon because I still have like two. Even though I know how it ends, of course. I've seen the ending.
Dude, I am so glad I finished that show before my dad died.
Yeah, dude, that's what's stopping me from like going back to it. I'm just like, I don't think I can get through this. So, like, dude, like even that's like even the scene at his funeral when like Mary just starts crying, I'm just like I started tearing up. I'm just like, I can't imagine how much I would be bawling watching that now after my dad actually passed away.
If it makes you feel better, I think it's the last two episodes. So if you just skip those two and watch up to that point, I think you'll be good.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Because I don't think they have anything that kind of like ties into that stuff.
Okay.
Like it's literally like I kid you not. Like I think it's like the whole season and then those last two, it ends with him dying.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, but it's like super out of the blue. So you could actually watch that whole episode and then just know when the doorbell rings, freaking shut it off.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
We're done. All right. Now we move on to George and Mandy.
Yeah. And then, those last two are just freaking heartbreakers. Yeah. I'd have to double check. It might be the last three, but there's an episode where as long as you know, like, when she opens the door, it's the principal. So once you see then you can shut it off and you're good.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Yeah. But, Young Sheldon's good. I would. Yeah. If you can get through, like, where are you at in Young Sheldon? Are you on the last season?
I'm pretty sure I am.
Okay. I'm going to grab a cushion real quick. This bucket is hurting my ass.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh.
Oh, that's a little bit better. I have the jankiest setup, dude.
I love it. Hey, we were like that for weren't we like that for a while at some point? We were literally just holding our mic stands.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. When we were first recording.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, dude. Remember the classic, like when we like would have to like just have like the hold up the freaking headphone cable to our mouths, and that's how we freaking was our mic.
Dude, listening back, I don't even think that's what was happening.
What do you think it was?
Like, I think it was literally us just like being picked up by the mic on my laptop.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Because I was sitting there, and I was like, God, like, because I could hear when you like kind of back away, and like same with me. Like, I'm like, how is that? Like, we had the mics right. And I was like, oh, I bet you we weren't even freaking recording on the goddamn right settings.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, we've come a long way.
Yeah, we've come a hell of a long way. I've backtracked a hair, but
but hey, the audio is still great. So that's all that matters.
Yeah. I cannot wait for my office to be done, dude.
Oh yeah, dude, I can't wait to see it. It's going to look badass.
Yeah, I'm going to have like a whole little setup. Like, I'm like changing everything. I'm actually wanting to see if I can get a new tabletop for my desk.
Okay.
So that like I can have something that looks a little bit more professional than just like a random ass hole. I'm actually wanting to just like rebuild or like redo my desk from like square one, like basically sand that bastard down is like to the bare wood again.
Okay.
So I mean, we'll see if that ends up happening because I'm like the drawers are starting to fall apart, so I need to reinforce those. So that's a project in of itself.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, anything else you've watched that you want to talk about?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything for me either.
I keep hearing this like little bit of white noise, and I'm like, I don't know what the hell it is.
Huh.
Like, my ass is going to get, like, stung or something.
Uh-oh.
I shouldn't. There's enough sawdust in here to freaking choke out, like, anything.
Okay, that's good.
Dude. Total side note and unrelated to anything that we've talked about. I had a buddy over that was helping me like cut some lumber for the office. And I told him I'd buy him some beer if he came and helped me. So I got him some and he threw it away. Like once he was done, like he threw his bottle away, but so many freaking flies just for covering the damn bottle like after he was done, and there was like a huge freaking buildup of larva in my trash. Ooh. Yeah, like my trash Ooh. Was literally like empty other than like a couple scrap pieces of wood, and then like I had like just some water bottles and shit, and then his beer bottle. And yeah, like just I pulled my thing out the next day and it was covered, like it looked spotted. And I was like, what the hell? I pulled out into the sun, saw that it was just a shit ton of larva. I was like, oh, gross. And so I took all the freaking sawdust and just like threw it along the edges and it dried those little bastards out. And
oh, okay.
I ended up killing them. But I was like, oh, that's freaking disgusting.
Yeah.
Yet another reason to never pick up drinking.
Yeah, for real. Wow. Ugh.
Yeah, disgusting.
Yeah. Okay, well, before I throw up, what do you say we move on to the headliner?
I say let's do it.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
All right, so jumping into our headliner of the evening. Like I said, we'll be breaking down Pixar's newest movie, Elio. But before we start, Caleb, do you want to let people know how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you're new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we will be scoring are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, which this is going to be more tied to animation because duh. Music, costumes, which is going to be more character design. And then we're going to give it our own personal score at the very end. All of these numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. So with that, if you have not seen Elio,
please go see it.
Please go see it. It is... Despite what people or what you may hear, it is good.
Yes. It is a genuinely good original Pixar movie. And just like, I remember walking out of this, out of the theater, and just being like, it is so nice to actually see an original Pixar movie again. That just felt so nice.
It was, dude. It was so good. But yeah, so don't listen to the, listen to us.
Yes.
Like, if you listen to this show, you should trust our opinion to some degree. Go check this movie out,
please.
But so yeah, like, go check it out. Pause. Go check it out. Then come back.
Yes.
And now that you've done that, like, we know you have, or you should have. Yeah, Rose is about to spoil the entire movie for you. Actually, he's going to reiterate the movie to you because we know that you have gone to see this movie.
Yeah.
So there should be no one that listens to this that gets spoilers, because all of you should listen and should have done what you're told.
I'm like so tempted to be like the little girls from Lilo and Stitch and go, yeah.
Yeah. So because we know you've done that, Rose is going to reiterate the entire story for you in our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose.
All right. After the death of his parents, young Elio Solis is orphaned and lives with his aunt Olga, an Air Force major who gave up her dreams of becoming an astronaut to raise her nephew. Elio wanders into a closed exhibit on the Voyager 1 spacecraft, where he is awed by the idea of discovering other life in space. Years later, Elio wishes to be abducted by aliens. Every day, he lies on the beach waiting, but without result. One night, two bullies, Bryce and Caleb, tamper with his ham radio, leading to a fight that injures his left eye. This forces Elio to wear a patch over his eye for 2 weeks. At Olga's workplace, Elio sneaks into an emergency meeting where conspiracy theorist Gunther Melmack claims to have found evidence of aliens responding to Voyager, suggesting they send a message back, but is dismissed by Olga and her colleagues. Elio uses Melmac's device to send his message, causing a power outage at the military base, nearly costing Olga her job. Angered by Elio's actions, Olga decides to send him to a youth camp, which he dreads, as Bryce and Caleb are also there. At camp, Elio escapes from Bryce, Caleb, and two other bullies one night as they attempt to scare him. Back at the military base, Olga receives strange outer space messages in response to Elio. Just as Elio faces a beating, an alien ship arrives and abducts him. Inside the spaceship, he meets U, a liquid supercomputer, and is welcomed to the universe where aliens share knowledge from their worlds. Other ambassadors mistakenly declare him a candidate for Earth's ambassador, thinking he created the Voyager spacecraft. Before Elio can clarify, they attend an emergency meeting with Lord Grygon, a rejected warlord threatening to take the universe. I'm saying that right? Isn't that how they...
Yeah, pretty sure.
Okay. Okay, to take the Communiverse by force. The ambassadors plan to return Elio to Earth, but he chooses to negotiate with Grygon for immediate induction as an ambassador. U creates a clone of Elio to take his place back on Earth. Olga brings other Elio home from camp after hearing about the prior fight. Meanwhile, Elio attempts to negotiate with Grygon, but after unintentionally angering him, he is imprisoned. While trying to escape, he comes across Grygon's son, Glordon, and decides to use him as a bargaining chip to get Grygon to leave the Communiverse alone. They head back to the Communiverse, and Grygon agrees to leave them in peace in exchange for Glordon's safe return. Elio and Glordon confide in each other. Elio feels alone and misunderstood by his aunt, or aunt, however you want to say it, while Glordon resists becoming a war machine like his father. Elio devises a cloning plan to keep them together. He puts the real Glordon on an escape shuttle and gives Grygon the clone. Grygon notices the switch and uses Questa's mind-reading powers to locate them. Grygon sends troops to find his son, while Questa, disappointed by Elio's deception, returns him home to evade Grygon. Meanwhile, Glordon accidentally activates the shuttle, heading toward Earth. Back home, Elio is devastated, but soon spots his aunt on the beach looking for him with other Elio, whom she had already suspected was not her real nephew. After reconciling, they head to the military base where Elio's shuttle has been contained. Other Elio sacrifices himself to distract the military, while Elio and Olga sneak into the base to find Glordon dying from hypothermia in the shuttle. They pilot it back to the Communiverse, calling Bryce and Melmac for help avoiding space debris. Reaching the Communiverse, they return Glordon to his father, who rips his suit open to swaddle him, saving his life. Gargon apologizes to his son and the ambassadors, while Elio is welcomed back into the Communiverse. Elio declines, stating Earth is his home, and says goodbye. Questa reminds him he is never alone before sending him and Olga home. Elio and Bryce continue contacting Glordon through a ham radio.
Hell yeah.
Dude, I don't know about you. For a second, I thought Elio was actually going to stay.
I did too. I was going to be real freaking devastated.
I was too. Like, no, don't do that to your aunt. Please don't do that.
She's trying her best. Oh, man. I would have. Oh, I don't even know what I would have done, dude. I've been all types of devastated.
Yeah, like I'd be like too far, Pixar, too far. Like you've already got me crying in this movie already in certain parts, but you freaking have Elio stay in space and his aunt just have Aunt Olga has to just go back home and just live by herself. Yeah, she can, you know, like actually train to be an astronaut, but like now she doesn't have her nephew. Do not do that to me.
Yeah. Oh man. Dude, this was just getting straight into like the story. It was so well put together.
It was. I swear Pixar just knows how to like gut punch you like literally within like the first 5 minutes of their movie. Cause how this movie opens, how she Olga's trying to communicate with Elio, trying to understand him. Like they're at this restaurant on base and she's like trying to like get him to eat something, but he's just like under the table and just is just silent. And then he like hears about that new exhibit. He goes to that and just seeing him in awe of what he's seeing about life out there in space. And you see like the freaking like tear come down his face as he's just like looking up. And freaking dude, I freaking started tearing up too. Like, oh my God, this just the opening, just this movie was this was a really good Pixar movie.
Oh man. Dude, I did not go into this with the highest expectation just because of what I'd seen about it. Like, oh, the opening's not so great, and that like this, that, and all this, and like I kind of got like excited about it because of the stuff I'd like the shade Pixar's been throwing towards general audiences.
I was the same way.
Yeah, so I was just like, all right, like here we go. Like I'm here for it. Like gotta show, like gotta do my part, show my support for original content.
Hell and yeah.
Yeah, ended up walking away. Like this was a really, really well done movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like all motivations made sense, everything that like I don't know, like everything made sense, and they didn't like try to like backtrack it where it was like what I liked is that like when he overhears his aunt talking about like this isn't how her life was supposed to go, all this and that, they didn't try to like backtrack it. It wasn't something like, oh, it was just a misunderstanding. Like he misheard or came in, like didn't have the right context for it. Like that is what she said. That is how she was feeling. And they like own up to that.
Yeah.
Like, and I like that it was a whole thing of just like, no, like you're right. Like my life wasn't supposed to go this way, but it has. And like more like I've accepted it. Like it's more like the acceptance that she has for the situation that she's in was great. Like I loved it. And so, yep. Like Elio's motivation for, cause he was already obsessed with space. Like it seemed just based off of like the little interaction that we had with him at the beginning, like having the space people toys and whatnot. And then, yeah, this exhibit obviously just sparked something more for him.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It was really, really good. Like really, yeah. Really solid story. Really funny too.
Yeah. Oh my dude. Freaking. Oh my God. What was the kid's name? Grygon's son.
Oh, Glordon.
Yeah. Oh my.
I God. Loved him.
He had some of the best lines in this movie.
Oh my gosh, dude! There's so many to pick from, but I'm assuming you're talking about the "Hi, Dad, I'm a bargaining chip."
Yep. Oh man.
Dude, he had a shit ton of like really good one-liners where like Elio's sitting there and he's like, like in his mouth, and he's like, "Oh, it's actually kind of cozy in here." He's like, "Is it? I've never been in there."
Oh, there's like a part where he's because it's like up leading up to that part, like they're crawling through the tunnel and he brings up like a point and Elio's just like, "Wait, no, I can't do that." He's just like, "Oh, I just kind of assumed that you could." And he's like, "Why didn't you tell me that before this?" I think it's like you can like serve. I forget what was being blasted at them.
It was lava.
Lava. Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, like freaking, I would die from that." He's like, "Oh, I just kind of assumed that you would survive that."
Yeah. And then he's just like, "Just get in my mouth." What? So good. So good.
You know, like I find it because, you know, I feel in Pixar movies, you always attract to like once. Like you attract to the whole storyline, but there's usually like a part of the whole storyline that you like enjoy a little bit more, like how they do it. And I feel like with this one, like don't get me wrong, I loved all the space stuff. Like that was great. Like seeing him in awe just in space, like that just made you happy. Like that was just great. But just like everything with him and his aunt, that I loved all of that. Like every scene, the storyline with him and his aunt, I just loved to death. And especially when it came to his freaking clone. Oh my gosh, was that freaking funny when he accidentally cut off his finger. He's just like, "Oh," and then just puts it right back on.
Dude, I loved how she was like so immediately suspicious of him.
Dude, especially freaking when he's like, "Oh hey, I'm gonna turn," and she thought, "Oh hey, wait a minute." She goes to kiss his head, and then she's like, "All right, good night. Does a serious face, pulls out his hair, puts it freaking examines it, and just, you know, finds out that, you know, like, freaking, I was not expecting it to just freaking start moving on its own. That was insane. And then freaking when she like lifts up his eye patch and there's nothing there, and he's just like, "Hi, we need to talk."
Dude, I took Iris to go see this, obviously. Awesome. But yeah, I when that scene happened, she's just like, "That was kind of scary."
Oh.
And I was like, "What?" And she's like, because for those of you that don't know, my dad also had a patch like for his entire life. And so she asked me, she's like, "Is that what Papa looked like?" And I'm like, "No, that's not what Papa looked like."
Oh.
And she's like, "Like, what did his look like?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but not like that." I would assume. But yeah, she was like, so just like, "Ah."
Aww.
Yeah, it worried her something awful. And then she also got a little freak. She was actually kind of freaked out by the clone.
You know what? I can understand that.
Yeah, like that scene where he scares the ever-living bejesus out of those guards. And he's "Help me." And it starts melting. I don't like that.
Dude, like freaking when he started like going limp and everything, I'm just like, this is like out of the freaking Grudge. Like, damn, Pixar. Like, I think you're going a little too dark here for a kid's movie.
Yeah, like, okay, can we chill, guys? Like, come on.
Oh, gosh.
Dude, like, it even got me like a little like.
No, dude, that's fair. Like,
oh, shit.
Oh,
yeah. Like, when he's just like, "I'll start my self-destruct sequence now."
Yeah.
I'm like, ah. Like I love that shit, dude.
Yeah,
that was so funny. Gosh, they did a really good job with the whole like Communiverse thing.
Yes,
I wish that like there were so many places I was just like, gosh, I just want to explore this more. Like, yeah, it's so good. Like I love like how they had that area where they had the food that would pop up, like whatever kind of food that you wanted. And how it was just like this little perfect utopia deal. Like, I loved it. I thought it was so good. And this is just going into like character design, but the aliens were all super interesting.
Whoever designed honestly, all the characters in this movie, bravo for creativity, because they looked fantastic.
Oh, yeah, for real. Oh, I'm trying to think. Like, there's not really any issues I had with this story.
No, same here. I even like that, like, with, I think it was Bryce and Caleb, right, that were the bully?
Yeah. I have yet to see a Caleb in media that's not an asshole.
That sucks. I'm sorry, man.
Like, I kid you
damn,
not.
Damn, I wish that Bryce was Caleb then, because I actually like what they did with Bryce, how he was just like, well, yeah, no, I know Caleb's a jerk, and him and Elio actually become friends. I loved that.
Yeah. Dude, for whatever reason, like, it's always like, I'm trying to think of like other Calebs that I know. Yeah, there's a couple like shows of Brielle's that she's watched, that are more like where the Caleb is like a serial killer, or he's like a domestic abuser, or he's just like, again, it's just some asshole like character. Like, the only good Caleb I know comes from this this other show, Shorzy.
Never heard of it.
Good show. Okay. It's so, you know about Letterkenny?
No, huh?
Okay, never mind then. Anyway, there's a character named Caleb in like super minor role, but like he's funny, and he's actually like a decent character, and I'm like, okay, at least we got one. But yeah, other than him, like, every other Caleb in media that I've seen's been a freaking jackass.
Damn, that sucks.
But it's funny. Gosh, I'm trying to think of other stuff, like, just story wise. I think this was definitely one of Pixar's better movies.
I agree. Yeah, like it's definitely, you know, not my favorite original Pixar movie story, but like, when it comes to creativity, it was pretty solid here.
Yeah, I would honestly put this around where Turning Red was.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, like, let's see, what did we end up giving? We gave it an 82, which feels low.
Yeah, I would be slightly higher than that for Elio.
I would too. Like, yes, the story was basic enough for kids to follow, but it was good. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really well executed. I would put this at like 85.
I think I'm just gonna be one higher at you, an 86.
Totally fair. Next up with writing, I've been thinking about this one. I think I'm on the same level. I think this is like 85.
Yeah, I would give it the same score as you for that, 85.
Yeah, it was good. Again, not anything that's going to blow you away. Nothing Oscar worthy, but it was solid. It was really, really solid.
It was. And I especially love, I mean, because, you know, like, you have that one scene with Elio and his aunt, and how, like, it was after he got into that situation at the base, and just him like screaming at her. He's like, "You're not my family." I'm just like, damn, that shit killed. But then you get that amazing scene towards the end when it's her and the clone looking for Elio, trying to, you know, contact outer space for him. And then the real Elio and her share like a really sweet moment. And I'm trying to, what doesn't she say? Like, all I want is you. Isn't that what she says?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just that was just like classic Pixar. And I loved it. Like, I don't know how they do it, but Pixar is like the one animation studio that since the dawn of time, every single goddamn movie that they do will make me cry. I don't think I've ever left. Well, no, yeah.
Cars 2.
Okay. All right. All right. He's got me there. All right. Cars 2. Other than that, I am like 99% sure that I have cried or shed a tear in every other Pixar movie that they have ever released.
Even Toy Story 4?
Oh, yeah. I still shed a tear in that one.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I cried at the end.
Ooh, that one didn't get me nearly as bad as like Toy Story 3 did.
I saw something funny with Toy Story 3. They said someone posted, like, imagine if Toy Story 3 ended with, as they're closing their eyes about to be incinerated, it just cuts to black. And then a version of, instead of "you got a friend in me," it's
you had a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the like comment below is just like, it's a kids movie, you monster.
Dude, there need to be adult cuts of kids movies.
No, like seriously, straight up.
That would be hilarious. I would actually pay if they released a Pixar movie and they're like, this is the kids version, here's the one for grown-ups. And it was just like the most awful shit that they could.
Dude, even if it's just
there.
On the Blu-ray, like, yeah, release the adult cut.
Oh, I'd be so there for that, dude.
Dude, same here. Oh, man.
Yeah, the writing was really, really good. Like I said, like, my favorite thing that they did is that what Elio heard his aunt say wasn't like a misunderstanding. It was like exactly what she was like, what she had said, and all of those feelings.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, how they showed how immediately, like, the parents knew, or like the parental figure knew that it wasn't the right kid. Like, because with her, she was immediately suspicious.
Yeah.
But she was just kind of like, okay. And then, yeah, like, obviously, like, she had that full-blown list going of every weird thing that he'd done that was, like, perfectly normal. Like, I wish I could have paused it, dude. Because the only one that I ended up seeing was just, like, Elio sits quietly.
Yeah, I don't even know if I caught any that were on the list. So, yeah, I can't wait for this to come to Blu-ray and Disney Plus so I can pause and read all those.
Yeah, but the what's his face, what's the big guy's name? Glorfax or something.
Glordon?
No, not Glordon's the kid.
Where's his name? Grygon.
Grygon. Yeah, so I loved how Lord Glygon immediately knew that wasn't Glordon. And then it rips him apart, like rips the suit apart and everything. And he's just like, that wasn't him. And he's just like, how did you know? Like, a father always knows.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, but like the justification for that, like when Glordon, like when they're like kind of reunited and everything, and he's just like I may not understand you, but I still love you.
That was a dagger to the heart. Like, damn.
Yeah, that freaking stung like a knife. It's like, I'm still too fragile for this, Disney.
Yeah, no, dude, straight up. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that shit stung like a bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, yeah. Yeah, so that was fun. But, yeah, it was really well done.
It was
like zero complaints with that. But yeah, I think 85 is fair.
Agreed.
All right, moving on over to acting. Oh shit, I forgot to load that damn slide. Damn, having only one monitor is really cramping my style. We have Jonas Khabib, who plays Elio Solis. We got Zoe Saldana, who plays Olga Solis. Remy Edger, who does the voice for Glordon. Brad Garrett, who does the voice for Lord Grygon. Shirley Henderson, who does the voice for Ooh. Brandon Moon, who does the voice for Ambassador Helix. Jamila Jamil, who did the voice for Ambassador Questa. And then Brendan Hunt did the voice for Gunther Melmac. So I think we can both agree the standout for this, definitely Jonas.
Oh, yeah. He was fantastic.
Dylan, who would your number two be?
Number two, just because I thought she put a lot of emotion into her scenes, and she's amazing in everything. I'd give number two to Zoe Saldana. I loved her.
Dude, same.
She was fantastic.
She was so good. Number three, though, I have to give to the kid who voiced Glordon.
I
loved him.
That's fair. No, dude, that's fair. I'd probably give him number four. Third, I got to give to Brad Garrett.
Fair.
He was.
It could honestly great. Be a coin flip.
That's fair. That's completely fair. Dude, it's insane. Like, someone was interviewing Brad Garrett, and I swear he has had a part in every single Pixar movie. Or, like, almost all of them.
He has had a decent amount of roles in Disney, dude.
Like, it's insane. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was in, like, I think someone pointed out a lot of them. Like, just Disney movies. He was in The Pacifier, one with Vin Diesel. Finding Nemo, Ratatouille.
Oh, yeah, because he played Gusto.
Yep. For Christopher Robin, Casper. Amazing. He was in the OG Casper, 1995.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was the fat ghost.
Yep.
Dude, I still can't believe they got freaking Dan Aykroyd to do that cameo as Ray. That was just amazing.
Right? Yeah. Let's see. He was in Planes, Tarzan 2, Extremely Goofy Movie, Planes, Fire and Rescue, Tangled, Bug's Life, Finding Dory, The Country Bears, Underdog.
Oh my god, yeah, I remember who he was in Country Bears.
Hoodwinked 2.
Who did he play? Does it say who he played in Hoodwinked 2?
I will look. Willy the Giant.
Oh yeah. God, I hate that movie.
Oh man, that's hilarious. But yeah, he's had a pretty significant like life in with Disney.
I mean, guy has a really good voice, so I don't blame
him. Iconic voice, dude. Yeah.
He's like, I feel like when it comes to Disney movies, I feel he's up there with like John Hamm when it comes to iconic voices.
Yeah. I'd give you that. Yeah, I'm just looking to see what other like random shit he's done.
Wasn't he in Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's his like number one known for role.
Okay.
And then it was Christopher Robin, then Tangled, then Ratatouille.
God, dude, he was perfection as Eeyore.
Yeah, he does the voice for the Kraken in SpongeBob.
Oh, okay. Cool.
He's done voices in Bubble Guppies, Rapunzel's Tangled Adventure.
Okay.
Ralph Breaks the Internet. Yeah, Finding Dory. Oh, he did the voice for Krang in Out of the Shadows.
Oh, shit. Okay.
The Easter Island Head, Night at the Museum.
Okay.
He was in The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, Tangled, Easter Island Head, so for all the Night at the Museums. Underdog, Ratatouille, Finding Nemo, Pacifier, Garfield, the movie.
Oh, yeah, he played, like, the big mean dog.
Yeah, let's see. Finding Nemo. Justice League.
Whoa.
Yeah, he did a voice for Lobo.
Oh, that's cool.
Bear in the Big Blue House.
Oh, I love
Stuart that. Little 2. Kim Possible. Oh, he was in the Buzz Lightyear of Star Command show.
Who did he play?
Torque.
Why am I not remembering?
I think that was like, who is Torque? Let's see. He did a voice for In Recess, an extremely goofy movie, Superman animated series, the Hercules series, Bug's Life, the 101 Dalmatians series. I'm trying to see what like the first thing that he did. Yeah, Casper, he did Fatso. Do you know there was a Dumb and Dumber TV series?
I did.
Oh, yeah, he was in that.
Oh, yeah. I never watched it, though. It's crazy how, like, that had a TV show, and then freaking Bill and Ted also had a TV show. Like, or I guess a cartoon. Like, that's crazy to think.
Yeah, his first credit was for Transformers: Five Faces of Darkness. So he started off as a freaking voice actor.
That's awesome. I mean, and he's really good at it. So.
Yeah, and then his first live action role, or yeah, real life role, was in Roseanne.
Okay.
And then, yeah, and then he's just been in a shit ton of other stuff since then. Yeah, so his first credited was in 1986. And then he did Hulk's. Did you ever watch Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling?
No, I didn't.
Oh, because he did the voice for Hulk Hogan.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He was in The Real Ghostbusters.
Oh, who did he play?
Arzan.
That's not ringing a bell.
Yeah, it was one episode. Super shocked. Yeah, then it's just like other random stuff.
Damn, Goof guy's Troop. Got an awesome troop. Wow. Guy has an awesome track record.
Yeah. Like it's his voice, dude. His voice is just iconic.
Yeah.
Super cool. Anyway, so totally understandable why you gave him number, what was it, 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. We could freaking dive into his career for like ages.
Dude, I feel him and Patrick Warburton. You could,
dude, for real.
Those two, you could have some fun dissecting their careers.
Yeah. Dude, you know who else would be a super fun one to dissect? Hold on. Let me find his name. Diedrich Bader.
What has he been?
All right. So you may not know, like you may recognize the face. So how well do you remember Country Bears?
Pretty well.
Okay, so he is one of the cops, or he played like the.
Oh yes, I know him.
Yeah, so I would put him on the same level as Brad Garrett. And,
all right.
Yeah, his IMDb is ridiculous. Like, let's just for shits and giggles see what his first thing was, because this dude's constantly working. Yeah, his first thing was Long Arm, but in recent years he does like a shit ton of voice work. He was in the Harley Quinn series.
Oh, okay.
He did the voice for Bruce Wayne.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Creature Commandos, he voiced King Shark. Batman Caped Crusader, he voiced Harvey Dent.
Wow.
Let's see. American Dad, he's was in like 4 episodes. Yeah, he's just been in so much stuff, whether it's like live action or whatever. Like he's basically played everyone in freaking in Justice League. So he did one movie, Superman Red Sun. He voiced Lex Luthor. He was in Young Sheldon. He did the voice for Batman.
Oh man.
Yeah, he was Batman in like Batman Brave and the Bold. He was in Booster, or he voiced Booster Gold in the Justice League live or action shorts. Maximus in Avengers Assemble. He was in Surf's Up 2, the Rush Hour TV show, Penguins of Madagascar, Be Cool Scooby-Doo, Goldbergs, damn, Gravity Falls, Ben 10 Omniverse, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Phineas and Ferb. Like, this dude has been in everything.
No kidding. Holy shit.
Yeah. His is another. I'd put, like, his career, it would be another super fun one to dissect.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway, where are you sitting with your acting score?
I feel everyone did a pretty damn good job. So I probably put acting on the same level as my story. So I think I'm going to be at an 86.
That's actually exactly where I was at, too.
Hell yeah.
All right, next up we got character development, which this had some pretty decent character arcs.
It did. Yeah, because Elio's scene at the end with him deciding to go back to Earth with his aunt. Oh my gosh. Like, one, I just love that scene. And two, the way that he said, you know, I think I'm going to give Earth a second chance. Like, I think I'm going to give it a redo. And just the fact that like Pixar like had you like thinking just for a minute that he was actually going to stay, But then he decides that no, like Earth is where I need to be. It's where I should be. I should be there with my aunt. That just was such a great character moment for Elio. I loved that.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a really good job with that. And it, like, it showed, like, you understood, like, both perspectives. Like, you understood his aunt, like, wishing that he could, like, kind of set aside the weird for a minute, just enough to make friends and have, like, a social life of some sort. But then you also get it from his perspective where he's, like, he feels isolated and alone.
Yeah.
And I loved that one, what do they call him?
The ambassadors?
Ambassador, yep, that's the word. The one ambassador who just says, like, you are very unique, and sometimes unique may feel like you're alone. And I'm like, that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, so awesome. And yeah, it was so well put together. Again, this isn't anything like Oscar worthy, but this is definitely one of the, like, the better character developments. Like, this is, I'd put this maybe like an 87.
I think I'm just going to be slightly above you at an 88.
Nice. All right, next up we got effects, which we're turning into animation for this one.
And once again, Pixar. There's a reason why, to me, they're the best when it comes to animated films, and they showcased that again here because the animation was fantastic.
So good.
Yeah.
Dude, the scene that blew me away is when that freaking Communiverse sphere, or whatever you want to call it, just appeared in front of Earth.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my gosh.
It was so cool.
Yeah, and then it just showed, like, everyone's just like watching and in awe of it and everything. Like, it was magical.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scenes, like, I had a hard time thinking that they weren't real freaking trees when they were, like, doing the shots, like, over the forest. I'm like, those can't be real. Like, those look so good.
Yeah, it was literally like the Good Dinosaur level landscaping animation. But, you know, like, this actually had a good story to go along with it.
It was the good dinosaurs water, but it was trees.
Yeah, there we go.
And it was just sitting there just like, whoa. Like, that looks so good. Yeah, I was blown away. The animation was solid. Like, literally zero complaints.
Yeah, no, dude, like, especially freaking when he, maybe it's just like, it just reminded me of, like, when you're a kid and you enter, like, this kind of, like, area where it's, like, dark and you're, like, only seeing stuff illuminated and you're just, like, you're a little bit, like, kind of freaked out, but, like, you can't help but being in, like, awe when he first enters that room that's, like, you know, like, closed off of the new exhibit and is showcasing the, well, first you get the solar system and then you get the, what was it called?
The Voyager?
The Voyager. Yeah, thank you. Dude, freaking him being in awe just, like, took me back to, like, when I was a kid and, like, I would be in awe of, like, maybe not exactly that, but, you know, like, other stuff, like, when it came to seeing stuff like that. Yeah, just that scene alone, the animation in that, and especially, like, when he, like, just lays down on the floor and then you, like, have that zoom in on his face and just, like, seeing him just, like, in awe, like, oh my God, like, the animation was just incredible in that scene.
Dude, movies like this set a really unrealistic expectation of museums for me.
You know what? That's fair.
Like, I always imagined, like, that I would have, like, this super magical moment that just, like, leads me into what I want to do for the rest of my life at some goddamn museum where it's just, like, an exhibit that I walk into by myself. And just like, whoa, never had that.
I mean, same.
Yeah, and it's bullshit. Like, every, like, museum, like, I haven't been to, like, one museum yet that's, like, really blown me away. But it's just like, okay, like, this is all right, but this is no, like, Elio.
What about the Grayface Museum?
Come on. That one more freaks me out than anything.
All right, you know, fair enough.
But yeah, it's just like, yeah, like I haven't had this like magical moment in a museum. Maybe I'm going to the wrong museums.
Maybe you are. Like, well, I mean, dude, I can't say I'm any different. You know, it was really, I think like a moment that like I think of like I felt how Elio felt is back in California in Party City. There used to be.
All right, let's walk down this road.
You're just like, oh God, where's this going, Rose? There around Halloween time, there used to be just a specific room dedicated to just Halloween masks. Like that's all that there was in there, and it was like kind of like lit like this. It was very dark, and just like the masks were illuminated, and just like freaking, I remember just like every year that we would go there, like I always ask, like, can we please go there before we leave? I want to see this. And just, I remember seeing like Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Jason, Chucky, all of these characters that like, you know, like I loved as a kid, just seeing their like faces illuminated and like being in awe. And I'm sure this is making me sound like a freaking weird ass kid, which I was.
Yeah. I was like, why are you going to sit here and act like you weren't?
True.
Like this is what's making you think you're a weirdo.
But no, like I kind of had like the same like awe that Elio had, especially like the first time I saw that. But like I'm the same thing with you. Like I wish that like I went to like a museum that like made me realize, oh hey, that's what I want to do with the rest of my life. But we never got that.
Yeah, my hindsight's like is really solid. My foresight, though, has to be worked on a bit. Like, I don't know. I haven't had very many, like, I wouldn't even say I've had any, like, super magical, like, whoa moments. Like, with anything.
Damn, man, that makes me sad. Huh?
No, it's just, like, okay, obviously, like, I've had, like, micro moments like that that have, like, guided how I live my life. But okay. No, I haven't. I'm talking like to the movie level that I've built up in my brain.
Okay. All right.
Did that just make you sound like I have no dreams?
It did for a minute.
Like I just hear a collective. Oh, that's so sad. That's the point I'm trying to get across. It's just like this movie has built up. Or this movie and others like it have built up museum experiences to an unrealistic degree.
Yeah. Oh, that was good.
Oh, man. My life's not that sad.
I promise you, Caleb has dreams. I know he does.
I have wishes.
Oh, man.
Like, I have hopes that I put on stars.
Oh, shit. But
anyway, get back to the animation of this movie. I will say, like, I think that they could have gone further into like the whole blowing us away deal, but I mean, I'm still pretty high with the animation. Like, I'd probably say 96, because like this movie didn't quite blow me away at the same level as like Coco.
No, dude, same. Like, yeah, I'd give it the same score, because like thinking with like Elemental and like Inside Out 2, they're like, I guess, like newest two movies. I think I gave Inside Out 2 a 98 for animation. And I think like Elemental, we were around the same area. So yeah, it's just like a little below that.
Damn. All right, next up we got music.
This was like, it was nothing to write home about. Like it was good. It fit for like the scenes in the movie, but like nothing really stood out to me.
Yeah.
Like the main main theme's pretty good. Or I guess like maybe not the main theme, like the
intro. It's like the score.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, the score is really good, but
yeah,
again, like I know they had some like big songs in it. Like I mean, I saw it earlier today and I can't recall them.
Yeah. Like, I forgot that there is.
Yeah. It's not a soundtrack that blows you away, but it fits the tone.
Yeah.
Like I'd say this is 7, like it's just with the songs that they do throw in there.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, personally, I'd give it a 6.
But... fair. I can understand that. All right, next up, we got character design.
It's pretty solid. Like, I especially loved, I mean, not only Elio's just, you know, design, but the stuff that he wore. It was just great. I love seeing, I just love seeing kids passionate about anything. Love seeing that. But, like, the fact that, like, he was ready, like, freaking the colander as the headpiece, that was great. His capes. The fact that, like, he comes running to his aunt when he's, like, packing to get abducted to go to outer space. He's just like, where's my good cape? Where is it? Oh, I'm wearing it.
Yeah, the costumes here were good. Like, I'd say the only thing that it's missing is just, like, the solid silhouette. Like, I think...
that's fair.
Like it's on the same level as me with like Coco, like just outfits wise. Like I thought the design of the aliens all looked good. They were all really, really good. I wish we could have gotten a little bit more variety. I think they only had like, I want to say 4 or 5 different aliens, like species.
That sounds right.
Cause I mean, they had the weird flowy, like amoeba looking ones. They had the rock faces. They had the little like anteater looking one. They had the robot, like the robot looking ones. And then they had those oh gosh, I don't even know what to call them. It's like those upside down bells where it's like a really long neck and then they like just pop out like random.
Yeah. Do you remember the name? You might have already said the one where it's literally like the circle of like cards and tell you whatever you need to know. But then like Elio will literally just like ask like the most like simple thing. And he's just like, do you remember that character's name?
I do not, but it was like an interface.
Okay.
But dude, the fun that I would have with that damn like device.
Yeah.
Or that interface. Like I would be going crazy.
I love the, literally every single time he'd come on stream, he'd be like, I could tell you anything that you want to know, anything in the whole universe. Elio just asked him like the, like just, oh, hey, where did so-and-so go or something like that. And just the biggest,
it's like not a single person has asked the meaning of life yet.
Oh man.
Yeah. Super funny. But yeah, I liked it. I would say, I think this is at least worthy of an 8.
Yeah, you know, like I think I'm going to agree with you there.
All right, last up, personal scores.
All right, who's going first?
That's up to you.
Oh, I'll go first.
All right.
This was a really solid Pixar movie. I'm just like, so I went and saw this with our friend Sammy. And I mean, I already said this earlier, but just walking out, I just remember telling her like, it was just so nice to see an original Pixar movie again, because we haven't gotten one since Elemental, and Elemental was really good. I think I liked this one a little less than Elemental, but just overall, like really, really solid story, really good character. Elio is a really good main character, and seeing him having to go through the struggles of just not fitting in, how his aunt is dealing with having to take on the responsibility of being his legal guardian. And then of course throwing all the space stuff. And I feel he had a pretty solid Pixar movie. It's just unfortunate that this is not doing well at the box office and it's showcasing Pixar that, oh, hey, you guys don't want original stories anymore. So why do you think we're making Toy Story 5 and Incredibles 3? Just telling us that you want Toy Story 10. Please, for the love of God, do not go up to Toy Story 10.
Yeah. Please. Dude, I just wanted to message like Pixar and be like, we're sorry.
We're so
don't do that. Like, listen, well, like we will 100% take a third Incredibles because you took so goddamn long giving us the second one.
Yeah, for real.
But Pixar should like stop it with they need to cut it at trilogies.
Yes, I agree. Like for real.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, boom, done. 1, 2, 3, boom, done. Like if the story's there, like max give us 3, but just keep giving us that original shit, dude. We'll eat that up.
I'm curious. Did you hear about the director change for Incredibles 3?
No.
So Brad Bird is not going to direct it anymore, but I think he's like still like going to be like a decent amount involved. But now it's I think his name's Peter Solis. He directed Elemental.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I'm excited for that one. But yeah. Anyway, Elio, I would say that for personal score, I'm going to go an 89.
Yeah. I'm in the same ballpark. Not quite as high. I'm at 87. I thought this movie was really fun. Hit all the right notes that it needed to. Like it was a great movie. One that I'm really excited to explore again. Yeah, like this is one I'm excited to watch like the extras on. Like I love watching the behind the scenes with Pixar. Like easily one of the best like behind the scenes experiences.
Oh yeah.
Like I eat that shit up. So I'm super pumped to see all that. But
I remember one of the best ones that they ever did was when they re-released Toy Story and Toy Story 2 for, I think it was the first time on Blu-ray in preparation for Toy Story 3. And the deep dive that they did into the makings of those two, especially Toy Story 2, and how like they almost lost the movie. Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some dude had it backed up at his home computer.
So it was actually a lady that had it backed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she was like a new mom. And so she needed to work from home as well. So dude, yeah,
she should have gotten all the freaking bonuses that year.
No, seriously. Seriously.
If there's anyone in the world that I would want to interview, it would be her.
Yeah, no, dude, like seriously. And then like I think I remember like them saying like usually they had like over a year to get these to because you know like Toy Story 2 was only their third movie, and usually they had like over a year to get things done, but they only had 9 months for Toy Story 2. And then like hearing the with Toy Story, how when they first showcased the movie to I think Disney, like they absolutely hated it. Like they hated how mean-spirited Woody was, and they told them to shut production down, like just to stop making it. And John Lasseter and his team was just like, okay, give us like 10 days, give us like a week or two, and we can fix this. We can make this good for you guys. And so like freaking they've like spent long nights just like trying to like get not only Woody right as like an actual good character, but like the whole story like flowing better. And you know, thankfully they did. But just yeah, like those two, it was crazy seeing like how many not only achievements that they had with the first two Toy Story movies, but also hiccups.
Yeah, dude, Pixar, their story is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like absolutely nuts. But I could sit and like talk about Pixar forever, dude. I like if there's any like studio that I would love to like visit and explore, it'd be freaking Pixar's.
Dude, like probably years down the line, but I think we should plan a road trip to go to Pixar.
I'm so down.
Hell yeah. Okay, sweet. Like that would just be incredible. Like yeah. Okay. Let's do it.
Yeah. I am in.
Sweet.
All right, going through these scores real quick. Starting off with story, we ended up averaging out at to an 85.5. The writing is sitting at an 85. Acting is sitting at an 86. Character development is sitting at an 87.5. The effects are our highest category, sitting at a 96. The music is sitting at a 6 out of 10. The character design is sitting at an 8 out of 10. And then our personal score averaged out to an 88. So with that, the final all-rose letter grade for Elio has come out to a B+.
Yeah, let's go.
Hell yeah. I was real worried that it wasn't going to get into the B+. Like, this is exactly where I was hoping it hit.
I'm glad it did.
Yeah. Here, let me put that in. All right. So Elio. Ooh, it barely cracked B plus.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. So literally our cutoff for B plus is 86%, right?
Yeah.
This is sitting at 86% on the dot.
Let's go. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And for just to showcase how really significant that is, we count our percentages gets counted 3 decimal points. So we have a thousandth of a point, like of our percentage. Like, I shit you not, like our top B movie, which is super funny, it's actually our last movie that we did, Final Destination Bloodlines.
That's funny.
So that is sitting at a 95.938. I usually just round to like the hundredth decimal point, but it counts to the thousandth. So having a movie that sits at like that percentage is crazy.
That is awesome.
Yeah, right?
I love that.
So yeah, Elio is sitting at an 86%, which puts it below Hundreds of Beavers.
Okay.
Just barely, dude. 0.025%.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. So it sits below Shazam Fury of the Gods.
Don't love that, but that's just me.
Yeah. Below Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Okay. I'm sorry. I love that movie. So yeah, I'm okay with that.
It's below Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay.
And it's also below Sing 2.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, going the opposite direction, it is above, like I said, Final Destination Bloodlines.
All right.
It's above Trolls Band Together.
Okay.
It's above Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Fair.
It's above Onward.
Okay.
And it is above Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Okay. I like that we got a Pixar movie in there as well. That's awesome.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So comparing this to other Pixar movies, where do you think this sits?
I would guess in the top 5.
All right. So just take this into consideration. We have 10 Pixar movies that are scored.
Okay.
The lowest one that we have scored is Toy Story 4 at 83.4.
Okay. I don't know.
It's actually sitting at number 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
8 of 10. But, like I said, so the movies that we have are Coco, turning in order. So this is top to bottom. Our top is Coco. So 91.4%. That's an A-.
Okay.
Turning Red, Inside Out 2, and Soul. All A-.
Okay.
Then we have Lightyear, Luca, Elemental, then Elio.
Okay.
And then Onward, and then Toy Story.
Okay. That's not a bad list. I like that ranking.
Not bad at all. So, like, let me just see for shits and giggles. Yeah, the difference between Coco and Toy Story 4, like, so our highest and our lowest, it's less than 8%.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but I think it has a decent home.
I agree. Yeah, no, I like that.
So yeah, that's where it's sitting.
Hell yeah. All right, well, if you enjoy, or sorry, forgot to ask, do you have anything else you want to say about Elio?
Nope, I am ready to get my ass off of this bucket, dude.
That's fair. Yeah, okay. All right, let's wrap this up. All right, if you guys like this and want to listen to more of our stuff, you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are damn near everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, all that stuff, Spotify. Yeah. If you want to check out our social media, you can find us everywhere. Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, or at the All Bros. If you want to email us, you can do so. theallbroschannel@gmail.com. If you want to check out our website, tinyurl.com/theallbros. And then if you want to check out our merch store, you can do so at tpublic.com/the. I can never remember if it's okay. So that one does have channel in it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, like we said, next week, we'll be taking a break, because it is a very special birthday next week. So Caleb is going to be out of town, having a wonderful time celebrating his wife's birthday. So the week after, are we going to do Superman. Duh. Sorry. Superman. That's what we'll be doing.
Yeah, we'd kind of be stupid not to do Superman.
True. Because, I'm so freaking excited for that one.
I am so pumped, dude. Everything that I see that's come out of this movie, it looks amazing.
I think James Gunn is going to freaking cook with this one.
I hope he does.
But yeah, till then, or you can look forward to that. But until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I am Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we'll catch you guys later. See ya.
Deuces.